This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening. Okay, we're going to start a new series this week. It's about putting up boundaries, and it's something I really need to work on. But already, I feel challenged in a particular area, and so we'll get started on that. We'll see that Jesus did the same thing. We get the idea that maybe, you know, we've got Christ in us. We don't need to have these boundaries. Our mission field is the world. We need to make as many friends as possible. So we'll look at Jesus' example, and we'll see. I think. Myself included, that even Jesus, he put up some boundaries. And he, you know, he could do anything. I mean, he had all power and authority. And so, you know, if he had to do it, then it's wise for us to do it. Lord, I pray that you guide us through this segment of scripture and help us to erect proper boundaries. It starts with us. It's not the problem with the world as much as it is us, and what we allow, and what we've kind of lost sight of, as far as our purpose goes and what our role is, in reaching others. In Jesus' name, amen. So right out the gate, I mean, you know, we have to put this down somewhere on a piece of paper, is that we don't save anybody. I, you know, that should be obvious, but then I think we walk out the door and we're like, I'm gonna save some people. We don't save anybody. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. No one can get saved without Him. Nobody comes to Christ without Him. No one can even be enlightened to Him without the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, and I think I probably said it in past podcasts or whatever, this whole liberal theology where just everyone, anyone, all the time. It's great in concept because really we don't know who God's going to save, and it could be the worst of the worst of the worst if you're going to categorize sins. Today, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer got saved. I totally believe it. He really did. And, you know, whoever, you know, we thought never would get saved. I'm sure all of us have that person in our mind. I'm thinking of one right now that, oh, if the Lord gets a hold of him. What we fail to understand that every single person that comes to Christ, it is catastrophic, right? So this idea that just because so-and-so came to the conference with us and really liked it and said a few things means that they're saved. Said a few Jesus-affirming things, that means they're saved. We don't know the process and we don't know where people are at, so don't go, you don't need to go right or left here and please invite people to conferences. Good golly, but conferences don't save anybody. Music doesn't save anybody. My song don't save anybody. This podcast doesn't save anybody. None of it saves it. It's Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And when it does happen, it's catastrophic. Death to life is pretty catastrophic. And that goes for anyone, not just Jeffrey Dahmers of the world. Anyone. The light goes on. If we know the story of Paul, I won't read that, but the story of Paul is that he was killing Christians. That was his MO. That's how he served God. So we're talking about not, he's entrenched, in an ideology. See, I think we all develop belief systems. So maybe I should start there. We all develop belief systems. And we seek out understanding in other extra biblical ways We all do this. I don't care if we call ourselves atheists, whatever we call ourselves. So, but he was entrenched in a system that, and the more entrenched we get in our systems and our cults, you know, that's why we, you know, call these things cults, the more blind we become. I sincerely believe this. But it all goes back to God saves who he wants to save when he wants to do it. And so Paul's going around killing Christians. He is killing Christians, entrenched in his ideology that Christians are bad. They brought in that this false God, Jesus, and all this stuff. I mean, he's got it lined out, documented in a book. This is his way of going about life. This is how he pleases God. He honestly believes he's pleasing God by doing it. He's entrenched. And, you know, the Lord is just like, I'm going to save this cat. And knocks him off a horse, a donkey, whatever he was doing. Light, drama, death to life. In an instant. Nobody saw that coming. I guarantee nobody saw that coming. Nobody at all. Jesus directly spoke to Paul and he was saved. So with that base point, with that foundation, okay, this isn't my work. I'm praying that God uses me. I'm praying that God shares his love through me. I'm praying that my life doesn't end up meaning nothing. I don't know if you heard the song that I put on the podcast what platform do I use? Podomatic. I put it on Podomatic yesterday. Any meaning in my life is going to come from the Lord. According to last week's podcast too. But I don't save a one of them. And if I have that understanding, then I'm very vulnerable to influences, right? If I don't have this, if and when God uses me is totally up to him. If and when God wants to work through me, it's totally up to him. If and when God calls me, it's totally up to him. And you know, all these ifs in our life, right, that we should be settled on are big question marks in our life. We should get used to question marks in our life. I was not used to question marks, none whatsoever in my life. It was all figured out. I was entrenched, is the word. But when we start to follow Christ, we realize that there are more and more questions. There are things we don't have nailed down. And as well, they should not be. I don't know what tomorrow, and God, I mean, God sets the bar at this level. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's where the bar is at. That's pretty wide open question mark. Can't put that on my calendar. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know we're going to be here. So it does, in that sense, leave us pretty vulnerable. Well, I mean, then I guess I could probably get sidetracked here, right? You know, I'm trying to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord, his guidance, his mercy. And he never leaves. Don't get that idea. But we are way more vulnerable when we start to realize there are way more questions. Okay? When I was entrenched, I was in my religion, I was doing my thing, get there on Sunday, to get there on Wednesday, do my Bible study on Thursday, when I had no questions in my life, I was still as vulnerable, but I didn't realize it. More vulnerable. Way more vulnerable, but I didn't realize it. But when I started to lean into Jesus, realize, he's got the ball. This is his court. This is his game. This is his time. These are his purposes. This is his kingdom coming. Oh, then I had more questions. I hope I'm painting a proper picture. I had more questions, and then I realized how much more vulnerable I am. I don't have that nailed down. You have this nailed down? No, I don't have that nailed down. You know what God's going to do then? No, I have no idea. You know, he's going to use your songwriting or what? I have no idea. No idea what he's going to do with the podcast. No idea who it's going to affect. This is not comfortable. When we realize our vulnerabilities, and God might be wanting to help you realize some vulnerabilities in your life. If you're a teenager and you're seen as kind of floundering with friends, they leave you off the track, and then you're like, well, I thought I was being their friend because I needed to be their friend and to show them Christ, and you're trying to get your boundaries back because you keep falling off. You're maybe your heart's in the right place. You really want to be used of God. But maybe today, in these next three podcasts, God is trying to help you. Maybe going on to college. You're like, this is going to get worse. It was bad in high school. All these people leading me off the rails. I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to start. Well, you can start with the fact that Jesus had boundaries. He had boundaries. And we're going to discover the first way he had boundaries. We're in Luke 8. Verse 1, soon afterwards, he began going, oh, please be quiet, email. Quitting that email. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. Remember, in this time, his priority were the 12 that he was discipling, handpicked. I guess before I get to that main idea that I wanted is that when it, and we're just going to go down a little further, hopefully as God's leading, that priorities need to be in place. Yes, maybe you have those. Okay, I got that, Sarah. I go to church. I found a church that I'm going to go to when I get into college. I made sure I was in a Christian dorm room or whatever. I have a Christian roommate, you know, or it's a new school, or, you know, next year, my senior year, I'm going to get more involved in my youth group. I'm going to camp this summer, you know, whatever it is that you are trying to lay down those priorities, church involvement, community involvement, getting around God's word, reading God's word. These are priorities. These are what priorities look like. Remember, Jesus had priorities. That was making disciples of these 12 men. Verse 2, some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Verse 4, this is where we're landing here. Today, this is our first today. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of parable. So there's a large crowd that's starting to gather around Jesus. And he didn't use the lingo that, okay, now everybody's going to understand what I'm saying. You know, the fastest track to reach everybody, the coolest lingo to reach everybody, the poppiest song to reach everybody. Some of us sell ourselves out in our school community way too fast. We want to be everybody's friend, We're not interested in being everybody's enemy. And notice the stance that Jesus did not take. People like to get the toxic view of this. Well, he just now shunned all of them. No, he didn't say go home. But what did he do? The first two areas that you're going to need to work on are the things you talk about and the things that you share. So these are two things that I realized I failed within the last couple of weeks. No, we cannot talk to everyone the same way. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the pearls before swine thing. Not going around calling people swine. What is under that is there are things I'll say to a mentor. There are things that I'll say to someone who is following the Lord. There are things that I'll say, but there are also things that I'll not say to those that are not following Christ. Our mouth can lead us further into disobedience before we even arrive. Let me say that again. Our mouth can lead the way into disobedience before we've even gotten there. So what I say to someone who's opposed, and keep this in mind, anyone that doesn't know Christ is opposed to Christ. That's kind of harsh. It's the truth. We all were. All of us have gone on out of the way. None of us were seeking God. All dead in our sin and blind. That is not a admonition to hate someone. There's no hatred involved here. It's the dialogue that we choose to have, the dialogue that we enter into, and guarding it in these relationships with people that are opposed to Christ. So if we understand that anyone who's not in Christ, one of my instruments is ringing. If we understand that anyone who is not in Christ is opposed to Christ, then we know kind of where we need to be talking. What does that look like? Not entering to the garbage discussion. Not entering in basic stuff. Not entering into gossip. Not entering into... I did tell myself several times when there was an opportunity to gossip, even when I was back in the States, when there was an opportunity to gossip, literally saying, no, you are not going to gossip. This is real time. This is what it means to follow Christ. No, I will not enter into this discussion. My mouth will lead me further into sin before I even get there. And it will take extra work to back out of it. How many times have you and I been in a relationship, this happened recently, where we were like, why did this person think I would be down with this? Maybe it was my mouth a few steps back. Right? So one way you're going to have to guard yourself is your mouth, and two, what you share. There is no fellowship between light and dark. There is no fellowship. And so if you are inclined to share your innermost thoughts and feelings, make sure you're inclined to share them with someone who is in the light. I mean, right? A person in darkness isn't going to have any light to shed on that. So keep your inmost thoughts, your inmost feelings, your inmost worries and fears reserved for those that are walking with Christ. The world has nothing to impart. Darkness has nothing to offer. That doesn't mean you hate. It means you don't try to take something that isn't available. You don't try to take that camaraderie from darkness. You don't try to take that oneness from blindness. You don't try to fellowship with those that don't belong to Christ. If you want to stop going off the rails, start here. What you talk about and what you share. Peace out. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.